the passage, and what happens is that the commoners get it. Verse 39, the Pharisees said, from among the multitude, said unto him, Master, you must, literally, in the imperative mood, you must rebuke your disciples. They're out there, well, they're out of control. You got to rebuke them. Hush them up. This is ridiculous. You're not the king, obviously. Look at you. You don't have a house. You don't even have your own bed. All you got is that robe around your shoulders. That's it. That's up to you. All they could see was what their minds wanted to see. And that's the way it is with you and me. We have been told that God created man in His image. But what has been done in recent years is man has turned around and returned the favor by creating God in our image. He is not like us. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. He says, my ways are so far above your ways, you can't even imagine. He says, in fact, when you put your mind on it, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. God has got so much awesome, so many awesome things ahead of us that we can't even imagine, because He is God and He can do that. He's creative. I mean, just look at everything, the color and beauty, you know, the flowers, the birds. You know, God didn't have to put birds in the air. Did you know? You know why He did that? Because He loves you. You're watching the birds. How cool is that? Now my next door neighbor doesn't like the birds, because I have a big pine tree in front of my house. And he would gladly pay to cut down my pine tree because they mess up his stand. But they are beautiful, aren't they, the songs? The songs that they sing, the way that they flitter around, it's play. I almost hit a squirrel this morning. I hate going to church killing something. It ruins my morning. I went witnessing one time, hit a deer. We were on our way to visit a lady who needed to be saved. We hit a deer. And I'm in a quandary. What do I do now? There's a deer flopping on the side of the road. I don't feel real spiritual. So what we did was we called the law, because that was what we had to do. They came out and shot it. Well, I'm feeling even more spiritual. But I'm with a guy who's a nut just like me, and he said, just throw it in the trunk, let's go. We went to these people's houses and shared Christ with them, but what was so, so, so cool is there would have been no way I could have won that woman to Christ if that deer hadn't been needing to be cleaned. My buddy and his friend, they knew each other, went out, cleaned the deer, I won the woman to Christ. If he'd have been sitting there, it's a little awkward to lead a lady to Christ when his husband's sitting there, he might be, because he hadn't been to church yet at this point. They both got added to the church in Pennsylvania. I often say now that you haven't been witnessing until you killed something. I could tell you about the mouse, but we're not going there. The procession was a beautiful thing, man. There was this procession. Everybody's getting it, except the people who should have got it most. They're saying, rebuke them. And ultimately, in verse 39, they say, you got to rebuke them. Verse 40, he says, if I tell them to hush, the stones would cry out. I want you to know something. Jesus does not exaggerate. We've got donkeys talking, serpents talking in the Bible, and if you can't believe it, I'm sorry. I'm there. Because God can. And God does. And I'm not even, you know, he says, I am who I am. No, as if to say, I make no apologies for letting you know they lived 900 years ago, or 900 years old. You know, you say, you throw that out there. I do, because there's an answer for that. There is. But you and I, we're so caught up in our own mind, we're trusting in our horses and our horsepower, we don't want to see God for who God is. God is awesome. He flew home. And we're going to fly home. That's exciting. Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Woo! All right. You know, this triumphal entry was an awesome thing, because what God was doing was He was presenting Himself. But if you look at the next verses, verse 41, it says, and when He came near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it. He wept. He was weeping. The word weeping is tero. It literally means to really weep with a mourning of bereavement. He was wailing in the midst of a crowd of people partying. He was the person who was at the center of it all. And if you took that zoom lens we have these days, you could have focused in on him, and there he would have been, mourning. Why? Because they weren't going to get it. He knew in a week they were going to kill him. It was all pomp and circumstance, and I'm afraid this morning that for some of us it's pomp and circumstance sometimes in our relationship with God. Oh yeah, count me in, I want to go to heaven, but don't ask me to do anything for God. You know, when he said to those people, go get that donkey and tell them, the Lord has need of him. Then they let him go. What does the Lord have need of in your life? Oh, wears us out. He has need of something in your life. You know it. He wants it. He's trying to get it. He's wooing you. He's like a person who's looking at someone on a ledge getting ready to jump and says, come on now, you know. I got something good here. Get off the ledge, and you keep getting up there. And you keep grabbing hold of that thing, or a child who maybe picks up a gun. You know, what do you do with a child who's got a gun? Loaded gun. You get down behind something. And you say, please, honey, put the gun down. Guns aren't toys. And you try to talk them away from it. God knows you've got a loaded gun. It's called your life. It's called your influence. It's called everything you do, every decision you make. When the church doors are open, when the prayer time comes, when the Bible reading gets done, those are all things God wants you to do. Not because it's just a good idea, but because you need it. Because other people need you to need it. We need to put him in his proper place. We need to be the people who get it when he shows up. Do you think it was a God thing I hit a deer? I mean, this is not rocket science. I mean, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. Hindsight, did I know it when I hit the deer? No. But it's so obvious from hindsight, isn't it? We all got it, didn't we? The lady got saved. We went back to that unification service two years ago, I guess it was. And she came up to me. I forgot her because she had only gotten saved like a year before I got there, and I couldn't remember her name. And she came up and shook my hand, and she says, how you doing, Pastor? She's still in church. She's still serving God after 9 years. Was it a God thing? I think so. You see, they got it, and in this passage, the Bible says that these people were not going to get it ultimately. Verse 42 says, if you had known that this had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. Now they are hid from your eyes. Now what I want you to see is a couple of things he's kind of punctuating here. He's talking about their peace. He's talking about their day. He's talking about their eyes. It's all right there. Your day, your peace, your eyes. Now listen. You've got a day. And you've got a peace to be had, and you've got eyes that can see, but if you continue to push it away, if you continue to say, not for me, if you continue to say, it's not that important, I'll get to it later, it gets easier to put it off. When a death occurs, that's when conviction comes in your heart. God says, you know what, you need to get saved, you need to come to Jesus. Hell is real, heaven's to be gained, Jesus saves, he brings his salvation to anyone who will come to him, whosoever will, and he brings that home, and we sit back and we say, yeah, that's, wow, and man, maybe we feel implicated. You know, we're sitting in the pew or we're hearing somebody talk about it and we're like, wow, that's smooth. But then you go to bed. And after a few days, you forgot about that. Oh, you remember it's a faint memory, but now it's not so intense like it was at the moment of your day. And God will bring another day and another day, but there will come a day that will truly be this your day. And if you keep walking away, it will be what? Hidden from your The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You will never know Jesus for who he is until you realize that he is the King, the Judge, and the one who will either cast into heaven or hell or draw into heaven. You got to see him for who he is. He presented himself as the King. They lauded him, and he said, you know what, if they weren't playing their part and painting the picture that we need to see today as we look back on it, and they needed to see in that day, if they hadn't played their part, the rocks would have shouted out, Hosanna! And what I want you to see is you have a day. And you have things God's needing. And he really doesn't need anything, does he? Because he created all. He says, the cattle of 1,000 hills are mine. I don't need anything from you. But I let you play a part. Part of the worship is the reciprocation. You know, when you ask your kids to help you pack for a trip, you know they're going to mess everything up. True, isn't it? We do. But we love them anyway. Why? Because we love them. And we see what delight they have in contributing and helping. And the wise person does give them a job they can do, because otherwise they're going to be driving you nuts. So God gave us a job to do, so we won't drive you nuts. Right? He gave us a job to do, and the job is to read your Bible, get to know Him better. The Bible says this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. You know, you get to know Him in the day-to-day. That's what He offers. He says, you get to know Me. You know, there are people you think of, and some of you like music, like country stars, or some of you are politically astute, and some of you, you know, maybe like a TV show, and there's a person that they can, wow, I get to hang out with so-and-so. You know? You get to know God. And that's eternal life. Because once you're near in Him and you see that His eyes are not a frown, but they're a smile, He loves you and He draws you, man, you're like, wow, this is all right. I could kind of get used to this. You think He'd mind? You think He'd mind if maybe I crawled up in His lap? Don't think He'd mind. You ever seen little children? You got the situation with the a little foster child that's going on. You know, this little kid will come in, they'll crawl in your lap after a while, won't they? It's not my mama or my daddy, but you know what? They sure got nice eyes. He's got nice eyes. And this world's a desperate place without Him. You got nothing without Him. I will conclude with this thought. The Bible says here in verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee about and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground, verse 44, and thy children within thee. He's talking to the city. He says, not only are you going to see yourself lost, but you're going to see your children lost. Now, he is prophesying a truth that happens in 70 A.D. when, in fact, Jerusalem, the city he wept over that day, mourning because he saw what was true as if it had already been done. He was weeping for a city that was so raided by the enemy that they actually had fires everywhere. The gold melted into the midst of the bricks. And so literally, the people who conquered them in 70 A.D. had to pry the bricks apart to get the gold out. It was literally leveled. Now, it sounds a lot like hell to me. You're going to be alone. Your enemies are going to be coming in on you. There's not going to be any hope. Not only that, but you're going to see the devastation of everything you love and you care about. And when it talks about the stones, it's talking about everything you valued, because they valued their stones. They valued their city. They valued their temple. And what I want you to realize today is that when you come every year to the Palm Sunday, realize that when they're waving palm sandies and Hosanna, that Jesus knows what's in their hearts. We don't want to be like they were, getting a clue but not wanting the truth. We need to get a clue and get the truth. And He says, because you did not know this your day. The word know means you didn't experience it. You didn't interact with it. You didn't reciprocate. He said, come to Me. You said, no. That's what Jerusalem would say. In just a few short days, those hosannas will turn to refrains of crucify Him. Crucify Him. Give us Barabbas. Talk about fickle humanity. Don't ever think of it that way. Look in the mirror. Because it is us. It is we that we see in these pictures. Let's back it up.